The message today is titled, Where Are All the Miracles? I think most of us feel like that once in a while. Where are the miracles of God? And so I want to address that today. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture in Judges. It's about Gideon. And Gideon asked this exact question. And there's only a few verses here. We're going to start with verse 11 in Judges chapter 6 and read through verse 13. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the timber tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. The Midianites were coming against God's people. They were taking their food. And Gideon is living in the weakness that they can't defend themselves against the Midianites. And he's living in fear. Church, God has not called you to live in fear. Amen? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what Scripture says. Now look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And that's almost amusing, isn't it? He's hiding. He is not a mighty man of valor. But God addresses him, not in where he is at that moment, but God addresses him knowing what he's going to be when God is in control. Amen? God sees us through eyes of what his plan and purpose for us is and what we will become when we surrender to the power of God. So he addresses him as a mighty man of valor. Verse 13, Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Have you ever asked that question? Lord, why am I going through this? Why is this so hard? Why is this difficult? Church, we live in a fallen world. God created everything good. Go back to Genesis and read it. It ends every day and it was good. God created everything good. What happened? Man sinned. Man listened to the lie of the enemy. And man followed the enemy's advice instead of trusting God. And when sin entered the world, sickness entered the world, we have a fallen world. And it doesn't matter who you are, that fallen world affects all of us. So bad things happen even to good people. And so he's asking the question there, Lord, if you're with us, then why has all this happened to us? And listen to this. And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? He asked us a great question there. It's the same question I'm asking today. Where are all the miracles? God, if you're with us, and think about this, Gideon asked this question. It was an appropriate question. Because he was just assured that the presence of God was with him. And he realized, if the presence of God is with me, then where is the supernatural? Where are the miracles? In church, that's the same attitude that we should have. God is with us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. He saved us. He transformed us. He changed us. We're not the same anymore. We're born again. We're spiritually born, born from above. And if God is with us, then we should expect miracles. Amen. And sadly, the church today many times does not expect miracles. Yet we know that God's with us. He's in us. He speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word, through that still small voice. He gives us guidance and direction. He works in our hearts and works in our lives. God is with us. God is supernatural, and we should expect miracles because God's with us. That's what Gideon is saying there. And he points out something else. He says, the miracles which our fathers told us about. Saying, did the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Their forefathers had told them about the miracles of being set free from the bondage of Egypt. Church, if you're blessed and you have a heritage in Christ, your forefathers, your foremothers, should be telling you about the miracles that took place in their life. I am thankful. I grew up in a home where my grandparents shared, this is what God did for us. These are the miracles that we witness God working in our lives and through our lives. So as I grew up as a young boy, my mom would, when I was sick, my mom would always call my granddad and say, granddad, come in and you pray for Milt. He's not feeling good. My granddad would always come in. He would anoint me with oil. He would begin to pray for me. And then he would stop praying and he'd look at me and say, okay, are you any better? That's the way he prayed. And if I said, well, not really, he'd pray again. And he would continue to pray until relief began to come for my sickness or whatever I was facing. Why? Because he was like Gideon. God's with us. He's supernatural. He's a miracle worker. He's promised that he's our healer. So, Lord, we're going to trust in you and trust in your word. Amen? So I want to encourage you, when God does a miracle in your life, share it with your children. Share it with your grandchildren to help build their faith, to help prepare them that they realize they can trust in him. The verse continues, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. So he's focusing on the difficulty. He's saying, well, the Lord's forsaken us. How many have ever felt like God forsook you? Come on, be real. Almost all of us have felt that way. You know, well, God loves Pastor Rick, and God's going to, he's going to bless Pastor Rick, but not me. Have you ever looked at somebody that got a miracle and said, well, God loves them, but he's forsaken me? That's a lie from the enemy. Amen? It's a lie from the enemy. I want us to look at verse 13 again. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles? Well, the answer is, verse 10 tells us that they were living in disobedience. Not only had God delivered them from Egypt, but he had established a covenant relationship with the people, and they had a responsibility to live in obedience with the Lord. If you want a miracle, church, remember, you need to be obedient. You need to be obedient to the word of God, live with a heart that's totally surrendered to him. Lord, you guide me, you direct me. Lord, I am all yours. Here I am. Amen? I'm going to strive to live in obedience. And if you stumble and you fall, because we live in a world where we're not perfect, sometimes we believe the lies of the enemy. Sometimes we see the things of the world and we want to taste them. If we mess up, we come back to the Lord. God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, empower me. God, strengthen me. Help me not to fall in that again. So we have that desire for obedience. We want to live by God's word. That's one of the greatest things we can do to position ourselves to receive miracles. Amen? So they were hindering God. It wasn't God not wanting to meet them at the point of their need. It was them not living for God. Many of us are at the place that we need miracles. I've got a news flash for you. If you need a big miracle, then you've got a big problem. And the bigger the problem, the bigger the miracle. So you don't give up and say, well, this is just so great, God can't do it. You say, God, this is a great opportunity. I have a big, big, big problem, but you are a big, big, bigger God. Amen. When the doctor comes in and he says, there's no hope. It's stage four. There's nothing we can do. You say, God, I've got a big problem, and you're a bigger God. You don't give in. You don't give up. And I thank God for doctors. I thank God for nurses. You've heard that from me many times. But they are limited in how they can help our bodies heal, that God created the healing naturally within us. There are times that they can't do anything else. But church, there's never a time when God is limited and he can't heal you or can't deliver you or he can't intervene in your situation. God's supernatural. What is natural for God is being supernatural. It comes naturally to him. So think about that. Amen. This is a great statement because God is supernatural. So he expected the miracles. And church, we should expect miracles too. I'm going to give you just three verses right quick. Luke chapter 1 verse 37. For with God nothing will be impossible. Luke 18, 27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you see a theme there? It's throughout Scripture. It's not just in the New Testament. What was the word that came when God came to Abraham and Sarah? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And it was a question that brings the answer, no, there's nothing too hard for our Lord. So from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, nothing is impossible for God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still supernatural. He's still a miracle worker. He still promised to be your healer. He still promised to be your deliverer. He still promised to provide for you as your provider. Whatever you face, no matter how great the problem, God's bigger than the problem. God's bigger than the problem. I said I was going to keep it short. Turn to John. We're going to zip through John chapter 2. This is the miracle, the first miracle at the wedding in Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Why were they invited? History tells us that it was a relative of Mary and Jesus. So they were going to the wedding. History, there's also indications that it was actually John. It was John's wedding, the author of this book. Verse 2 says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, before I go any further, it says it was the third day. Why does it say it was the third day? Because in Jewish weddings, they would go for a week. It was a celebration. They would treat the groom and the bride as a king and a queen. And they would celebrate for an entire week. And sometimes it would go even longer. But they had planned for a week. It would start on the Sabbath and end on the Sabbath. And so people would take off and they would make plans to go to this week-long wedding. And what would happen when they ran out of wine, everybody would, well, the party's over, we're going home. They would stop, but they still had days ahead that they were supposed to be, you know, taking off and celebrating. So what it would do in that culture, in that day, it would be a scandal. It would bring shame upon the groom's father and his household, they were the ones that were responsible for that in those days. In our day, normally it's the bride. In many cultures, it varies. I remember when I got married to Melinda, her dad asked for a dowry. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I'd like a farm. I'd like cattle, and I'd like horses. I'd like pigs." I said, "You got it, because she's worth it." So I went to the Five and Dime, and I bought him a whole farm and brought it to him. He kept that farm his whole life. It was still encased in the original plastic. When he passed away, he had it on his shelf. And she's still worth it. Verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" She's asking Jesus to intervene in this problem. But remember this, church, he had never done a miracle before. This passage says this was the beginning of miracles. In the original language, it means that there would be more miracles after this one, but this one was the first. Now, how many realize Jesus didn't own a winery? He was a carpenter. So why was she asking him? I want you to think about that. We're going to come back to that. Now look at verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." I want you to, if you underline in your Bible, I want you to underline that. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's the key to receiving a miracle. We talked about obedience a while ago. That obedience falls in with that. But God will speak to you. He will speak to you through the Word, through the still small voice. And he speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us in various ways. But God speaks to us, and when he speaks to us, we need to say yes. I remember it's been almost 30 years ago that God spoke to me to come to Alaska. Melinda and I were pastoring in a small inner city church. I was getting ready for Sunday. It was a Saturday. She took the kids to the park, and I was all alone, and I'd finished my message, and I was resting, and I flipped on the TV, and all of a sudden there was a documentary there about a missionary in Alaska traveling from one point to another, from village to village on snow machines. And I said, "Wow, that's interesting." So I sit down and I begin to watch that. And the next thing I knew, I had tears in my eyes. And God said, "I'm calling you here." And I said, "Yes." I said, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go." We didn't know anybody in Alaska. We had never been to Alaska. We didn't have any connections to Alaska. But we said, "Okay, Lord, we'll go." And God opened the door. And I've shared it many times. I don't want to take a long time. But God opened the door for us. And our family came to Alaska. And it was a miracle how God intervened and how God brought us here and provided for us. And we've seen God do awesome things. How many realize when you say yes, the enemy's going to come and try to hinder you? He's going to try to lie to you. The enemy immediately, when we said yes, we'll go to Alaska, the enemy came and started lying to us and said, "Oh, your kids are going to struggle. They're going to suffer. That small community you're going to, the schools aren't going to be any good. The medical care is not going to be any good. You're leaving great medical care." You know, we heard all these things from, and it was from people who loved us. And we said, "No, we trust God's call on our lives. We're going to say yes to him. We're going to be obedient, and we're going to trust God." And our kids grew up in a wonderful place, a small town where people cared about one another and loved one another. Church, you need to trust the voice of the Lord. Because He will lead you into the greatest life possible. Amen? He will lead you into the greatest life possible. Now I've got 3 minutes, I'm going to stop. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This being beginning of signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and the disciples believed in Him. I want to ask you, why? Why did Mary ask Jesus when He had never done a miracle before? Now, I've heard some pastors that and some people that said, well, Mary probably saw Jesus do something miraculous as a child. He probably saw a dead bird and picked it up and threw it up and it started flying. Well, that's not scriptural. He never did a miracle until He was baptized and the Holy Spirit of God descended upon Him. It was only after the Holy Spirit came upon Him that He began to do miracles. And this passage says this was the beginning. But it wasn't the end. Amen? Everybody turn to somebody and tell them, it wasn't the end. Why did Mary come to Jesus? He didn't own a winery. He didn't have anything to do with the wine. Why? I believe that she remembered her encounter with the angel. I believe that she was remembering, I'm going to just read it, Luke chapter 2, verse 31. "And behold," the angel speaking to her, "and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." She remembered this divine encounter with God. This angel spoke to her, and she was remembering Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, and He is my only hope. There's no other answer. My problem's so great, I can't solve it. But Jesus, He's the answer to every problem. He's the answer to every problem, no matter how great that problem is. He is greater. And I've got to stop. I said I was going to stop, and I'm not going to lie. But I think you've had enough of the Word. I mean, we could always use more, but don't tempt me. Mitch. I want to give a very simple altar call today. I want our prayer team to come to the front and come around the back. And I want to ask you right now, do you have a great big problem? Do you have a little problem? God loves you. Why does God do miracles? Well, it does reveal and manifest His glory, but He does miracles because He loves you. Because He loves you. And I want to ask you, there are many people. I want somebody to come and stand in for my good friend John today. He needs a miracle. I want somebody to come and stand in for Aaliyah. She needs a miracle today. Shirley had to go back to the hospital this morning. She was at church, and she came out of surgery, and she was having issues and had to go back. Somebody come and pray for, stand in for Shirley with one of our prayer team today. Oh, Jim and Glenda have COVID. So if you know somebody in the body that needs a miracle touch, find one of our prayer team today and stand in for them. And if you have a need today, it doesn't matter how great that problem is, bring it to Jesus. Mary knew what to do. She had never seen a miracle before, but she knew he was the Christ, the Messiah. We want to be a church that experiences miracles. So we strive to live in obedience, and we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do, and we're going to have an expectation that God's going to do miracles. I heard a powerful testimony. I won't go into it. I don't have permission to share it all with you, but somebody in our church came last week and found a prayer team member and prayed for a miracle for her friend. Her friend had a tremendous financial need, and she needed a miracle. And on Monday, out of the blue, somebody walked up and gave a huge financial blessing to this friend that met her miracle need. And later on, maybe we'll get her to share it. But it was a miracle. Let's stand, church. As Mitch leads us, I want you just to do one of three things. Either come find a prayer team member for your own need, or for somebody else that you want to agree in prayer with, or third, begin to worship God and praise Him for being a miracle-working Savior and Lord. Amen? Let's do that. Mitch, go ahead.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.